Blog Talk Radio.
January 1st, 2014. This is Bonnie Albers on air, and my two guests today are fabulous to start your new year out. I just was listening to that song, Aquarius, and I know our guest who is with us is Ron Cole, and he is a famous astrologer, and I know he loves this song, but every time I hear that the moon is in the seventh house, Ron, we're moon people, and you know what that seventh house is. So I am just jazzed, excited, and it just gives me tingles all over, and we'll tell the people later why. But I am so happy to have you all here. Let me tell you who I am and who my guests are for today, and then we'll get started. We have a great show for you, and I'm so happy and I'm honored that everybody in chat, everybody listening, and everybody on the board would spend January 1st with me and my guests. It is a pleasure and an honor to be on here and to bring in the first day of the new year, or actually the new year we created, with you. So I just want to let you know I'm Bonnie Albers. I have a website, bonniealbers.com/on/air. They're hyphens. I don't know how to write them, like a little, they're a little line. And if you go to my site, it's in construction, but you'll see me, you can read about me, and you can contact me there. My old site is bonniealbers.com. Again, bonniealbersonair.com. And my old site is bonniealbers.com. You can still leave me a message there. It still works, but I'm really transitioning into this brand new sparkle website that I love. I'm also on Facebook. You can reach me on Bonnie Albers On Air and like my page, or you can go to Bonnie Mosenter Albers. That is my personal page, but I love having you there. And leave me messages. Also, if you'll just like us on Blog Talk, you can leave me messages there. My secretary, Diana, she'll get to you if I can't, or will always answer you. And the reason I have Diana is she's in chat. She opens chat for me. That's because I want everybody to have the experience, both chat and us on air. I just can't do two things at once. And Chris is going to, like, shoot me, but I can't. I'm trying, though, Chris. And the great thing about today's show is we're going to start with Ron Cole, and at the end, at about 1:30, he's going to do a reading for Chris from Curious Times. She has a fabulous show, everyone. It's daily from 10 to 12 at night, and I have been on that show. I've been privileged, and it's an honor to be on her show. She's a fabulous host, and she is going to come join us about 1:30. I know you're out there, Chris, and I can't wait to hear all about you, girlfriend. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Bonnie. Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to all the listeners.
Happy New Year to you, Ron. And if I'm going to tell the people real quick how to get a hold of you, Ron does readings. I mean, he does your astrological chart. He does updates. If you have an issue and you're a client of his, you can call him up, and he'll do a real quick reading for you. And he'll tell you once you get a hold of him through email how he works. But if you want to get in touch with Ron Cole, and let me tell you, I get readings and updates all the time, he can be reached at livingastro@aol.com. I'm going to spell that for you, livingastro@aol.com. He's my astrologist. He's a fabulous guy. I love him to death, and I'm sharing him with you. Ron, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Bonnie. And not only that, we share a birthday, too, but years, but the same month and day.
I know. I love that. And you know what? We're so lucky to be here on January 1st. I know you told me that the new year used to not be January 1st, and that was interesting to me. But because we all think of January 1st as the new year, and I guess you can explain that to the people, we have some really interesting things coming up for 2014, and especially right now in the month of January. Can you give our listeners an idea of what that is?
Well, yes. First of all, about the new year, arbitrarily, January was created as the beginning of the new year some centuries back, many centuries, in fact. But earlier than that, the new year would start in March at the time of the spring equinox, which is around March 21st. And even our months are named for that particular start. For example, with our current way of measuring from January, October is the 10th month. November is the 11th month. December, the 12th month. But when you look at their words, October means 8 in many languages. And if you start from the original beginning of the new year in the month of March, October would be the 8th month. And
wow.
November 9 would be the 9th month. And for 10, December would be the 10th month. And we would be now in the 11th month, not the first month of the year. And the final month, number 12, would be February. So what happens is astrologers have recaptured that spirit of that day, and there is said to be the astrological new year, or the astrological day of astrology, every year on the 21st of the month of March, whenever spring starts. Now, that doesn't mean we measure the new year from that day, but we call that the International Day of Astrology. All over the world, astrologers recognize that day.
Wow.
So even the numbering of our months are based on the original way the starting from the month of March began. But back to what you said about the new moon this month in January, this is going to be a month of a blue moon. And a blue moon means two new moons occurring within 1 month. And we have one of them today, January 1st.
Yay!
And we have the second one, January 30th. And today, the new moon is in the sign of Capricorn, 10 degrees, 57 minutes. And January 30th, that is the blue moon, because that's the second moon. And it does not mean the moon's going to turn blue, because I mentioned that once to students, and they went outside and they said, well, the moon doesn't look blue to me. And it doesn't literally mean the color changes. It means that it's the second new moon in a month. And that one will be 10 degrees Aquarius, 55 minutes on January 30th. And if I correctly remember, that will be the Chinese New Year, because the Chinese New Year occurs every year when the sun and moon come together in the new moon of Aquarius. And that's why it can move around a little bit. It's not a fixed new year day.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
So today's a pretty powerful day. There are five planetary bodies in the sign of Capricorn today, which is a heavy, heavy, heavy emphasis of that sign. Right now, we've got the sun in Capricorn, moon in Capricorn, Mercury in Capricorn, Venus in Capricorn, and Pluto in Capricorn. So a child born today will have some very heavy Saturnine energies in their birth chart, because Saturn is the ruler of Capricorn.
Is that like a karmic? Is that people that are born today would hold some really karmic imprints for why they're here, Ron?
Well, because it's such a heavy emphasis, they're really going to be working with and learning inward and outward all of the energies that Capricorn represents by simply having that many planetary bodies in that one sign. And this is a working sign, a business sign, an industrious sign. It's connected to big commerce, big business, government, politics. It's connected to rising up a corporate ladder to positions of greater responsibility and greater power. It's considered hard work. No one gives you anything on a silver platter. It's a sign that earns everything step by step, year by year, in the course of the timing of their life. So it can be a difficult sign, and I'm not being judgmental. There really isn't a bad sign of the zodiac, but it can be difficult because it's ruled by the great taskmaster Saturn. And Saturn is the planetary body whose purpose is to not only give us our industriousness and our ability to succeed in the physical world, but it's also called the Lord of Karma, which means that Saturn is the planetary body whose nature is to be sure that we pay off, work off, balance off, and or release karmic conditions that are attached to our soul that we've created in past lives or in this life. So it is a planet who is very stern.
Well, Ron, does that mean that into any of the signs?
Any of the signs? I'm sorry, you faded out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Any of the signs, like all the zodiac signs, because this is a new moon in Capricorn, all of us, are we all affected by it in different ways, or are we all affected by the karmic weight of what we need to learn?
It's going to be effective most powerfully for new souls coming into birth today.
Okay.
This would be their birth chart for their whole life. But we will still be affected by it, particularly since the sun and moon and Pluto are sitting right around the same degree in the sky. The sun and moon are at 10 degrees Capricorn, and Pluto is at 11 Capricorn. So this new moon occurs on top of the planet Pluto. And that does have some ramifications for energies that we're going to be experiencing as a world, not just as the nation of the United States, but as a world for the whole year coming up.
Wow. And, some reason I'm telling you, somebody that you have been with in a different life keeps wanting me to say, wow, Ron, because I just don't say that with any other of my shows, and it's getting on my nerves. So I don't know who it is. Maybe if we look at it and you tell me who used to say, wow, maybe they'll stop. So I would like you to think about it for the next show so maybe I could change my vocabulary. But let me, since I brought up that new moon, or since actually you told us what that new moon means in Capricorn, what's the new blue moon going to mean in Aquarius?
It's always considered a rarity to have two new moons in a month. It has to be like our present month, one occurring right at the very beginning and the second one right at the ending. And since this is the first day of the month and the new moon is occurring on the first day, that gives time for a second new moon. And that's why we hear the old expression, rare is a blue moon, or it's just, a blue moon has always been considered an oddity, a very unusual occurrence. Well, the second one is going to be in Aquarius. Sun and moon will come together almost at the same degree in minute that it's at today. Today it's 10:57 Capricorn, and on the 30th of January it'll be 10:55 Aquarius. And that's one of the reasons I believe traditionally the Chinese have honed in to the new moon in the sign of Aquarius to register their new year, because Aquarius is the sign of sudden new things. New starts, new beginnings, new inventions, new breakthroughs. It's the sign of surprises, and it's the sign of electric-like energy. And I believe that that is honed into the time frame as to why the Chinese began their new year. Now, if I'm not mistaken, now I might be wrong at this because I'm not an expert in the Chinese astrology. I believe we're moving from the year of the snake to the year of the horse. That will be the new year starting in the ending of January, the year of the horse. And that will run until the next new moon in 2015 in Aquarius, see?
I know. I think we were talking about that yesterday, and it just amazes me because it's such a different system, even though I'm sure it really correlates to ours, but they've got wood and metal horses and all kinds of fire horses and wood horses. I'm not sure, each one of those animals is broken up into different elements. And so I was never aware of that, and that was probably the most interesting thing. I'm very fascinated with all of astrology, but that they're so different, I wonder which came first, the Chinese astrology or our astrology?
Well, the Chinese base their astrology on one year and everyone born under that year, and they basically have always based their astrology on the movements and placement of the planet Jupiter. That's the planet that stays one year in each sign of the zodiac, 12 years to go around the whole wheel. And although they have different animals, there is a connection and a spillover between the Western use of astrology and the Chinese. For example, Aries, the sign of the ram, rams butt their heads in nature and come forward and are very forceful and can be aggressive. Well, the Chinese version of that is the dragon with fire, and it's considered the first sign of the zodiac in a way, just as the ram is considered the first sign of the zodiac, Aries, in Western astrology. I believe Taurus is the snake and Gemini is the horse. Now, if I've got that correct, I might not have that correct, but I believe that's the order that it is in. And there is some similarities. There is similarities in the spillover. But the Chinese recognize five elements, where in Western astrology we use four. And those are the elements of fire, earth, air, and water. Now, the Chinese use, instead of earth, they use wood. They use fire. They use aqueous or water. They use air or airy. But their fifth element is metal.
That is so interesting. I can't keep one astrology from that. I mean, I'm trying so hard, even as a medium psychic myself, to, I can feel that, and you know how much I love astrology, but I just can't, the only thing I can do is concentrate on ours, because otherwise I think I would probably be calling in my five corners instead of my four corners. So, and I know everybody knows what that is. And it just so happens that I'm so ADD. I you know, you think I could learn them both, but I really, really can't. And I just love astrology in all sectors of the world and the universe, and find it so fascinating, because I think that was actually the first, really, that's how even pharaohs and queens, and of course I have the queen energy, used to even go to war with. They would call their astrologers in, right, Ron? And they would have them map out the skies. One was good to plant. One was good to go to war. One was good to do. And so to me, that's so interesting, because I think it was what we had come here, our roots, what we came here with. How do you feel?
Absolutely. It was used always as some great sense of timing, the best time to start a war, the best time for a coronation, the best time for hopefully the birth, because that can sometimes be out of our own control, the birth of the next reigning monarch. The timing has always been a big factor in astrology, because it basically is a science of timings and a science of cycles. And sometimes we get cycles that we've never had before, and we have to just watch and see what they're going to result in. Now, let me give you an example about that, Bonnie. When the U.S. was born, July 4th, 1776, Pluto on that day was at 27 degrees Capricorn. It was at the ending of that sign. There's 30 degrees in each sign, so it was near the ending. Well, we have never ever had Pluto sit opposite the U.S. Sun yet, S-U-N, Sun. And that's going to happen for the first time in the 238th year of this country. The Sun in the U.S. chart, I believe, is 13 degrees, 19 minutes Cancer, being incorporated on July 4th as a new nation. Well, Pluto, for the first time since 1776, is going to reach the 13th degree of Capricorn this year, and that will sit opposite the U.S. Sun. And the dates that it's, now people ask me all the time, well, what does that mean? And I honestly have to say what most astrologers say, we have never seen that happen yet in the entire concourse of U.S. history, so we have to basically watch and see how it will affect the country, the legislature, the government, the president. The 3 days, 2 days are occurring this year. March 13th, 2014, is the first time that Pluto sits opposite the U.S. Sun. And the second date is May 18th, 2014. And then next year, we get three more days that Pluto will sit opposite the January 5th, 2015, August 18th, 2015, and the last one forever is November 1st, 2015. So there are five times, one starting in about 2 months, 2.5 months, in which Pluto will sit opposite the Sun. And that's why I said earlier, I said this new moon today is aligning with Pluto in the sky. And I said this is going to be a year of great Pluto events. And one will only see how this will affect and then learn from its energy. And then we will understand in textbook and explanative ways how this kind of passage would happen.
I am so excited. You know, I love new things. Everybody's scared of Pluto. I love Pluto. I have a friend, and I'm going to mention her name on the air. Hopefully she's in chat, Brooke. And in fact, she's going to come on the show. She's herself a great a writer. She's a ghost writer for very famous people, and she's also a very good, excellent clairvoyant psychic medium. And I can't even tell you all her things that she does. But she, why was I? You know, I was just getting on a roll, Ron. I was bringing her
about,
up.
You
because,
love Pluto, and
she's got Pluto for the last 12 years in her, I think, first house or fourth house. I think it was the fourth house.
Oh, right.
And she,
it's a very long transit tour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she is so excited that Pluto's out of there. And I know when she's on the show and you're going to do her, and I think next week, She's going to be very happy, even though she is an astrologist too, to see what your take on it is. But I love Pluto. I mean, maybe it's the name, I don't know, but I love quick things, sudden things, things that come and change. I love that. But I, of course, always want them for the better. And Pluto, I guess, in certain signs, that doesn't mean so. But what do you think of Pluto, and what is your take on the planet Pluto?
Well, one comment, there was by a minority, not majority, of astronomers, a minority elected to not consider Pluto a planet in our solar system. And on modern-day teachings, charts of our solar system, Pluto is not included. And that's totally nonsense because it is a planet. It does have moons. It does have a set orbit. And whether it's considered too small to be a planet, Mercury is a very small planet also, that was the reason why it was kind of discounted. It may be small, and it may be a huge distance from the sun. However, it is the ruler of Scorpio. And if anyone studies astrology and understands the energy of Scorpio or Scorpio people, you'll see that Pluto permeates through their manner of being in the world. It's the planet of transformation. It'll take something and transform it into something else. And in nature, this is the process of a caterpillar entering and creating a chrysalis or cocoon and emerging as a butterfly. Science knows that the caterpillar does not create new molecules or new atoms. It takes the existing atoms of the caterpillar body and rearranges them into a new form, and it comes out in that new form as a butterfly. It doesn't have to crawl on the ground or up the stem. It can now fly. It can alight from leaf to leaf or fly up into the air in the sun. So that's what Pluto will do. It'll take something and transform it into something else. Now, the old adage is it good or bad? I'm sorry, what are you going to say, Bonnie?
I was going to say, can you please have it transform me about 20 years younger? Although I'm not old, but can you ask it to put me in one of the chrysalises? And I want to be transformed too. Of course, I always think that spirit, they take us and transform us. But I got to tell you, maybe that's why I love the Pluto energy, that maybe I feel like I want to always be emerging into something else. So Pluto, I love you. Go ahead, Ron. I interrupted you.
Well,
so
it's
go
also
ahead,
the
please.
Great revealer. It'll take something hidden and bring it up to the mass consciousness and the mass level. It cannot be hidden away any longer under Pluto transits. If somebody has done something corrupt, let's just use an example, and they've gotten away with it for years and years and years and years, a Saturn transit, or especially a Pluto transit, will reveal them, and their cover is blown. If something has been done, negative or positive, but in a very quiet, stealth, hidden way, Pluto will reveal that event and bring it up to the consciousness of the mass public. And that's what I think we're going to find out worldwide, not just the U.S., but the whole world, because this new moon today is occurring for everyone on the Earth. And countries, leaders, governments all over the place during this year are going to have a lot of stuff revealed that they've been doing, a lot of stuff that they've kept hidden, a lot of stuff that they've deliberately kept hidden, a lot of stuff that they've done negative, but some that they've done positive that they just never let the mass consciousness be aware of. And so Pluto can transform by bringing awareness from the hidden levels up to the conscious level, and then change creates from it in the human in the human public.
Oh, I love that, Ron. And I'm going to tell you, because we're running out of a little bit of time here, because I know what we have coming up next, I do want to thank you. And before we transition over to Chris, because I know you're going to do a chart reading for Chris from Curious Times, and she's on right now. And I do want to tell you, everybody, the next hour after Chris is with Kelly, and she will be taking calls. And Kelly, I love you. I see you out there. You're either in chat or you're on my board, and I don't forget you because you are my girl. So I do want to ask you, Ron, because I know everybody's listening and it's so important. Do you have any if you could wrap up what this year is going to be for all of us, not just for different signs, because I'll ask you that later, because, you know, I'm always going to be curious about that Aquarius song when the moon, which is our moon, is in the seventh house, which is love, relationships, and all that. What do you have on a bright note because I know everybody wants to hear a bright note on New Year's. What if you had, if you could sum it up in a few sentences, what would you say to the people out there that are listening, our callers, what would you tell them this year is going to be?
Purification and cleansing. Not only cleansing toxic energy from the governments in the world, but energy that's toxic to try to stop the good, stop the light, barriers to it, to rise above that through higher good energies. Pluto represents, in a way, the war between light and dark, but the light always wins because you can go into a room and you cannot turn on an electric dark bulb and make a room dark. You can go into a dark room and turn on an electric light bulb and the room fills with light. So that just is one example of how light rises above dark. And Pluto's nature is to reveal and then to bring transformation. And the greatest transformation is going to come from the harmony of the goodness of the soul, the rising up of awareness and consciousness in people, the awareness of talents and abilities that have been hidden or lying dormant in them. And this is going to be a year of those kinds of enlightenments, light from within coming up to the consciousness of the daily mind. That's going to be a transformation that's going to be felt everywhere.
Well, I thank you, Ron, and I just had a little lapse. It was a electrical problem, and I'm glad that I got back on because I was off for a little tiny bit. But I am now going to ask you to just get so excited, and I want to introduce you to Chris. I'm going to put her on right now, so let me get Chris on. Chris,
happy,
are you there?
Happy New Year, Bonnie. Happy New Year, Ron.
Oh, happy
and the same
New
back
Year.
To you, Chris.
How are you guys?
Oh, I love you, girlfriend. Don't even say a word because I'm going to say it for you. I love you, girlfriend. I love your show. I told Ron all about it, and I'm hoping he gets in there and hears it because I know he's a late-night owl. And we are so excited to start. And, Ron, I am going to hand you over to one of my favorite hosts besides myself. This is Chris from Curious Times.
You kill me, woman. Okay, Ron. Hey, thanks
now
for doing this.
This
is very
thank
nice.
You, Chris. I will not reveal any personal data about birth date, city, time. That's always going to be kept private. But I am going to say it was some time ago that you had a birthday. So happy birthday, even though it's a bit belated. I want to say that.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
The other
happy
thing
birthday,
is
girlfriend.
I set up your chart, and I want to just go over all of your planets as to where they are. Now, this may not make sense when I first start talking, but I'll give you planet by planet the sign that they are in, and then I'll start tying some of these pieces together. Your sun sign is Sagittarius, and
yep.
That's the thing people always say, well, what's your sign? And when you answer, well, I'm a Sagittarius, that means that's the position that the sun was in between about the 21st of one month to about the 21st of the next month, give or take a day, because sometimes it could change signs a day or so later. So your sun is in Sagittarius, your moon is in Virgo, Mercury, the planet closest to the sun, is in Sagittarius, Venus is in Aquarius, Mars in Capricorn, so you see they're pretty well spread around. Now they're going to start clustering again now. Jupiter is in Gemini, Saturn is in Pisces, Uranus is in Virgo, just like the moon. Neptune is in Scorpio, and Pluto is in Virgo. So you have three placements in Virgo. And the first thing I noticed about your chart was the position of where your sun was. There's something called the galactic center. And Chris, this has only been discovered and utilized in astrology in about the last 30 to 35 years. It was completely unknown before that time. And here's what this means. The galactic center of our own Milky Way galaxy from our position in the placement of our solar system is in the sign of Sagittarius. The way we would look towards the center of the Milky Way galaxy is in the sign of Sagittarius, and it exists between 22 and 28 degrees of Sagittarius, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. So that whole range of degrees, you are looking in the middle or towards the center of the galactic center of the Milky Way. Well, your sun happens to be on a degree of the galactic center. And this is one of the biggest discoveries and biggest amount of research, because once it was discovered about 35 years ago, then everyone scrambled to find people who had planets, especially important planets. The sun is very important, although it's not a planet, we'll call it that. And your sun is facing the Milky Way galaxy center. And what has been discovered is people who have planetary placements there, especially the sun or something like Jupiter, they often are in positions of power. They have opportunities through their own efforts, not necessarily handed to them, but which they have influence over others. They have great power. They can be very charismatic. They could become an expert in a field, and others will look to them for that expertise. Or they can have great power in molding or melding ways people think, because this is where the greatest amount of concentrated light of creating stars and close together galaxies of stars exist is in the Milky Way galaxy center. When one would tend to look in a telescope between the 22nd to the 28th degree of Sagittarius, you would see just blinding white light, because you're looking right into the middle of the heart of our own living solar system, our own galaxy, and from our solar system we're looking at it. So you've got the sun there, and only people born on your birthday and for the next 7 days afterwards can, 6 to 7 days afterwards, can only say that they've got their sun in the galactic center. So that's a sign to me that you've come into this lifetime to work with a certain amount of concentrated power. And the other thing that's interesting is you were born at the time Neptune was setting or going down in the western sky. It was directly opposite the eastern horizon. What was coming up over the east was Taurus. What was going down in the west in your birth city was Scorpio, and Neptune was in Scorpio, and it was disappearing just below the horizon at the time you took your first breath. Now, this means that this planet has a great influence upon you, because anything that's coming over the eastern horizon or setting down in the western horizon will definitely affect the personality and affect the individual and things about their character. Well, Neptune is the most intuitive planet of the solar system. It's the natural ruler of Pisces. It's the planet that rules psychic ability, sensitivity to energies, spiritual vibrationary feelings, spiritualness, too. It doesn't have to be just psychic. It could be just the sense of being a very spiritually attuned being. It's the planet that can often get hunches, feelings, psychic dreams, gut-level feelings, impressions, because it's the planet that makes you be able to tune into energy or receive a message through energy vibration. And that planet and that alignment set up your physical body to be somewhat as a receptor. Like a broadcast tower would be the energy, and you would be the channel picking it up, the receptor, throughout your life. And this is one of the seed-setting places why you have a great interest in the metaphysical and the spiritual, is this planet setting at the time of birth and the placement it was at. And the other point, of course, is the galactic center. Well, you know, we mentioned about these elements earlier, fire, earth, air, water, and they all mean different things. Sagittarius, for example, is a fire sign, but you only have two planets in fire, and that's normal. That's what the average person in the world will have, two in each. But in the element of earth, you go way above two. You've got five things in earth signs. And these are the signs of Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo. And you've got something in every one of them. You've got your moon in Virgo, Pluto in Virgo, Uranus in Virgo. Now, number four, you've got Mars in Capricorn. And number five, you've got Taurus rising. Well, Taurus rising can give you a pleasant appearance. That's a good-looking ascendant. That can give a certain amount of beauty in women or handsomeness in men. It can give a certain amount of physical, you know, attractive energy. And that is ruled by Venus. And where is Venus? Venus, the ruler of Taurus, it's way up in the top of your chart in your career house. So that means you have this great ability, again, with this ability to become somewhat of an authority figure or somewhat of a charismatic expert, if you want to use those terms, in whatever work you do. And you have it in the sign of the new age, Aquarius. And to me, the ruling planet of your ascendant, Venus, falling in Aquarius, means you've got great power to help individuals understand their own mastery. Now, that sounds kind of highfalutin, but I don't mean it quite that highfalutin. It means you have the power to help individuals open up and recognize abilities, talents, and capacities that they may never have known were there that can help them in their own evolution by working with and understanding those new empowerments. But you also have the ability to point out things to the consciousness of the mass numbers of people in the world, not just an individual, but just the mass numbers, as to things that are going to be for their betterment. Because Aquarius is the sign of humanity. It's the sign of wanting to help your fellow human being, or no matter where they live in the world and no matter what cultural background they come from, to help them raise their standard of understanding, knowledge-wise, and to help them understand themselves and to understand things they're capable of doing. I've seen people with a lot of Aquarius influences have this uncanny ability to see hidden talents in people. And, for example, I knew one that said to a person they had just recently met, they said, you know, I see you playing the piano. I think you have great talent with the piano. And the individual responded by saying, I've never played the piano. I don't know anything about it. But because that individual set that seed of thinking in their mind, they decided to go out and experiment, and they began to enjoy playing the keys of the piano but not knowing any harmony yet, and they began taking classes. And they ended up becoming quite a talented pianist because the Aquarius-ruled person brought out an individual talent that was inside of them, and Aquarius had that X-ray-like vision to help the individual become their own master. And that's just an example, and you've got that, and you could do that a lot through your career house. And because Venus is the planet associated with women, you could particularly be a catalytic opening individual to help females. Not that men are excluded, because Mars is up there too, and that's the planet of men. But your ruling planet of your ascendant, Venus, falls is the feminine planet. Mars represents males, and you have Mars in your career house also in Capricorn, and Venus represents females, and you've got Venus in Aquarius. So this means you've got the ability to really be a triggering force and a catalytic opener, particularly strongly for females. And then you can have an ability to take the stodgy males that are fixed in their views, skeptical in their belief system, hardened in their crystallized way of thinking. This is it. There's no other way. All that that's all hoo-woo, that metaphysical stuff, and help them soften, melt, and open up. But Mars in Capricorn is a more of a hard Mars, not for you, but for men, and the way that your influence could eventually melt them into understanding, where women will respond to you more in an electric, fast, quick way. And they're both in your career house. And, you know, when I see a chart like yours, Chris, that have Mars and Venus in the career house, I know right away here's an individual that's going to equally, in some form or another, affect and work with men as well as women, because those are the two planets that define the sexes. Now, all that Virgo, you're very good with details. You don't even have to see a person. You can listen to their voice. You can pick up changes in intonation. And if you're with a person, you watch things like gestures, eye movement, body language, and no one had to teach you that. It just became a natural way that you responded to others from your childhood on. You've got three planets in the sign that is very, very detailed. And that's why you've got that capacity to see into others, even if you don't see them, to hear into others from their voice. But you also have a talent that, whether you know this or not, it's strongly imbued in the chart, and that is to be somewhat of a medical intuitive. If you ever decide to go in this field, you can not only be a good healer, more than even healing, you could be a good discerner. You've got abilities to meet someone or hear someone's voice or be around someone and pick up, not absorb, not you getting it, but pick up mentally a health problem that they have or a health problem that's about to happen or a condition that's about to go awry. You've got great abilities here to discern that, and you can help individuals by sensing if there is a soon to be manifesting illness or disease that is coming into their field of vibration. You begin, you see it and sense its very core beginning. Or even you can help people that may have a condition that they don't even know that's there. Now, that might be a very hard karmic thing because you don't always, or not necessarily you, but it's hard for people to think, well, what if I'm wrong? And, you know, I'm talking about a very serious problem in people's lives. That's kind of the hurdle one has to get over when they have all those Virgo planets. See, Virgo is connected to human health. And you've got a chart that's very intuitive. So you combine the intuitiveness and the human health to be somewhat of a medical intuitive. But Virgo is also a little bit worrisome. It's always a worrier. It says, well, what if I say the wrong thing? And what if I get them so afraid that they go into a panic mode and they get hysterical and their whole life crumbles because they hear these words? And there's always that fear energy of what if. Well, what's going to happen is if you become a medical intuitive, you'll be having such a flow of accuracy that after the first few very nervous timings of this, it'll come and be very natural to you because you've got a gift to help people get over or prevent a disease before it overtakes them. That's kind of the way I'm trying to describe it in this chart. Now, I've just been going on and on, Chris. Do you have any questions so far, or should I keep on going?
Let me tell you, Ron, what's happened. I have had to mute Chris because her, for some reason, her computer and our computer, it was making a lot of static noises. So she's been listening.
Oh.
I'm gonna put her on right now, and you'll see. So I'm gonna ask if she has any questions. Chris, I'm unmuting you, so you can talk to Ron. Chris,
sorry about that. I can't hear any of this noise. I changed phones and everything, so I don't know what's going on. It's got nothing to do with having open programs either. So anyway, so far, yeah, a lot of everything that you've said is pretty bang on, of course. I mean, astrology is like that, though, right?
You know what it is, Chris? It's actually the roadmap that each individual soul is working on when they come into an incarnating life. And that's why when an astrologer wants a chart done, when a client wants a chart done, they will give the astrologer their city of birth, their date of birth, and their correct time of birth. They have to have
right.
The time correct. Because you set up a mapping for the time they take their first breath. And you set up where it occurs and what date. And this is the roadmap for each individual life. And I notice you've got Jupiter in Gemini opposite your Sun in Sagittarius. They're sitting opposite each other like two individuals on each end of a seesaw or teeter-totter. Jupiter's 26 Gemini and the Sun is 22 Sagittarius. Well, that's kind of an interesting aspect because it means that you could have very likely given up all worldly possessions in a past life because Jupiter's in the house of worldly possessions, either forcibly by a family or by choice, and gone into a religious order. It's very possible that a recent evolution of your soul spent time in a convent, or if you were in a male body, a monastery, in which by family choice and enforcement or by personal choice, you gave up worldly matters and entered the realm of spirits and the realm of prayers and the realm of vespers and all of the different organizations that occur in that kind of field. And that means that you've got a certain amount of protection coming back to you in this life. It doesn't mean always that you're going to become super wealthy, but it could. It also means that you've got a certain amount of protection coming to you from the good that you've done and the prayers that you've done and the vibrationary harmony that your soul has done. You've got something in your chart, though, that can be very financially rewarding, and that is Jupiter sits in your house of money, and it's in the sign of Gemini. And there's one famous person that I know offhand who has that exact same placement that you do, and that's Oprah Winfrey.
Wow.
She was born with Jupiter in Gemini in her house of money. House number two is the house of money and finances and salary and possessions and income. Well, you've got Jupiter there in Gemini, and so did she, or so does she. What happened with Oprah is she may have had a very challenged early life, but she had an awareness, being an Aquarius, come over her as to how to create change in the world and how to tap into the ability to transform others through the individuals becoming their own masters. And ensuingly, it brought her a great degree of money. She was able to understand that flow of financial abundance by doing the best for the greatest number of people. And you've got the exact same configuration in your chart. There's no reason why in the course of this life you cannot end up becoming very, very, very financially well off by having Jupiter in your house with money. But it's also because you gave up worldly things and spent a whole life in an element of spirit, in an element of non-matter, in an element of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And that also indicates that you get a certain amount of karmic reward for that based on the fact that you cut off much of the physical world. And in this life, you can have that come back in abundance, or it can come back to you in good luck, or it can come back to you in good luck timing. It can come back to you in good protection, like angelic energy forces that work to protect you from harm or get you out of the wrong place at the right time, you see?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you've got that. You've got kind of an angel with you of protection your whole life. I'm sorry.
And I've felt that. Yeah, no, and I have felt that. And now, can I ask you a question in specific? And maybe you can see this in the chart, maybe you can't. I don't know if you how deeply you looked at it, but I struggled as a younger person, and then I did get some decent employment, and I was very good with my money and saved my money. And then 5 years ago, I hit a wall, and I have been unemployed for 5 years living off my savings. And so the savings are, you know, of course, dwindling. And I never imagined that I would ever have, you know, been idle like this for 5 years. And I'm wondering if you see such a disruption in my chart, and does it end or does it continue?
5 years ago, yeah. Pluto entered the sign of Capricorn. It was the year 2008, and it's gone through about one-third of the sign as of now. It's going to be in that sign 15 years. However, what it did in your chart is very interesting, because 5 years ago, it moved into the sign that's on your career house point, Capricorn, which you have on the top of your chart. And Pluto can be a tough planet at times, and for even an extended period of time. That's why I said it represents enlightenment, but enlightenment often coming from darkness, from that which is being hidden or deliberately hidden. Now, let's translate that for you. I think that's the number one energy that this chart has shown me that may have been the stumbling block and the great hurdle blocker that has been kind of in your way, so to speak, for the last 5 years. Now, what happened then is it left Sagittarius. It had been in Sagittarius for 12 years.
Yeah.
And up until 2008, and then it made its transition into Capricorn. And it is a planet that can also, like Jupiter, produce a certain amount of opportunities that can come from hidden sources or sudden unexpected events and places. But you lost that support when it moved out of your sun sign and it moved into the area of your career house. Now, it's not yet exactly completely way up by your Mars or way up near the full top of your chart, but it's getting very, very, very close. Today, for example, it's at 11 degrees of Capricorn. And for all these 5 years, it's been moving from the very beginning, which is 0 degrees, the first degree, to 11 degrees. And so my prediction is this. That was the big change. It also was the change for the world. That's when we had the bottom fallout in real estate and banking and all these
right.
other issues and financial problems worldwide. Pluto created that because it entered the sign of big commerce, big business, and industry, Capricorn. But for an individual, you can't necessarily say we are a big business, we are commerce, we are individual industry.
Right.
What it says is it will often produce the baptism of fire. It will do what a melting gold down to get off all the dross or all the impurities. Melting it down so all those impurities, the dross floats up to the surface, and then they're skimmed off, and then the gold re-solidifies into its pure form. And so it melts us down to the greatest amount of intensity that we can experience, like a baptism of fire. And then it lets us solidify into purity like we've never known before. So Pluto always rewards us after it tests us.
Okay.
So that's why this has been a long test, because this is a slow-moving planet. Now, knowledge is the key to overcoming karma. When you become aware of something, you have the power and the steps to start changing it, because you suddenly are acknowledging where its source is coming from and how it's coming. And the fact that you know it's from this planet, what you can do is what I said earlier about Pluto. Work on enlightenment. Work on, instead of darkness trying to lock you away or block you or restrict you or solidify you or create toxic dross, like that floating toxic matter, visualize now all of that which has been a challenge turned to light within, pure light, vibrationary light, healing light, frequency high light of the high frequency, and then visualizing it coming from within to outwardly to your mind, outwardly to your mouth, outwardly to your body. And Pluto is the light-dark energy, and it's also the war between light and dark, and you can say you've had enough of the darkness. Now it's transformation to light, and that's always going to be more powerful than dark.
Cool.
Although when you're in a challenge with darkness, you don't seem to be able to see the light or be able to do it easily, but you can this year because you've had 5 years of this, and that's enough.
Yeah. Ron, come April, it will be five. Come April, it will be exactly five. And so that's good. I've kind of held on to some faith, but and that might be exactly why I had all that money socked away, you know what I mean? So that I would be able to, because even though the financial fail doesn't have to necessarily affect individuals, that's where the block was with finding decent employment was, that the job market fell out, and now jobs that I previously had are now demanding like degrees that I don't have. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that was, you know, how it affected big business is how it affected me, but vis-a-vis the employment situation. So
Saturn also was at 15 Virgo in April of 2009, and that's your moon, 15 Virgo. Saturn was going across your moon and in your house of health, and entered your house of health that very month, April of 2009. This is interesting because many people not only can have a very intense overriding of their own life or changing to a more challenging level, but many times people who have that transit get ill or sick. Now, that's behind you. That's long behind you. Saturn now is in Scorpio. But it could have even affected you in a health way by having a so many things go wrong that it could have affected your whole energy and frequency of being in the world.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And so I took a year to just say I'm taking a year to get away from the world. I can afford to do that. And then when I reemerged a year later to get it, to go back to work, no jobs were there. And so that was my fatal mistake there, you know.
One thing about Sagittarius, though, even though it can get tarnished, they never give up their inner or outer sense of humor or optimism. They have the ability to be in a disaster and then a couple weeks later, a month later, go back and smile about it and say, oh, well, that's over now, and now I'm going in this new direction. There's this internal optimism because that sign is ruled by Jupiter, the planet of optimism.
Awesome.
Well, you know what? I got to ask one question before and you know, you can you know what, Chris, I would love you to get with him. It's livingastro@aol.com, because I am sure he will be able to enlighten you on a lot of other things. But can you see, Ron, when it's going to, I hate putting you on the spot, especially on the radio, but I can feel her angst. Do you have any idea, before I bring Kelly on, what does it look like possibly? Things are going to get better towards a job, or that she will be employed, or what she's doing will actually make money. Do you see when that will be?
We have to first of all look at several things, and of course I don't have the progress chart, so I don't know what that's doing. That's a separate chart we set up that's specifically for this time and the future. But I can tell that Jupiter, your ruler, is down at the bottom of your chart now. It's near 19 degrees Cancer, and that's what is the point on the very bottom of your chart. And it's starting its way up from that point in that cycle. We've got to get some type of good, empowered Jupiter transit. And that's going to be the first step to see things making a transition or transformation to a change. I think for you, Jupiter in Leo will help you more than Jupiter in the sign of Cancer, because it's going to trine or make a good aspect to your Sagittarius Mercury and your Sagittarius Sun from Leo. It's going to also make a good aspect to Jupiter itself in Gemini. And it goes into Leo July 15th, 2014. So it's about 6 months from now. It'll enter the sign of Leo, and it'll be there for 1 year and about 2.5 weeks. It stays there from July 15th of this year to August 1st, 2015. So it'll stay there 1 year and 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. So that'll be something that will be the biggest manifestation for helping you with change.
Awesome.
And let me see the nodes. The nodes are now in Taurus and Scorpio, and they're backing up, and they're going to go into Libra and Aries very soon, and that'll help you too, because the lunar nodes are very important for cyclic timings in people's lives. I don't remember the exact day they move into Libra and Aries, but it's not that far off here in the future.
Oh,
awesome.
I am so happy. I'm so happy, Chris, if you could just get with Ron, because I'm sure he did your chart. And again, it's at livingastro@aol.com. You know I love you, and we're going to transition to Kelly. And I know Kelly's listening.
Thanks.
Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Now,
how are you doing?
I'm good. Can you say hello to Chris and Ron, because they're still with me?
Hey,
alrighty.
Kelly. Hey, Chris. Hey, Ron.
Hey,
Ron. I've been trying to get a hold of you for a long time. We just got really busy.
I just wanted to quickly say thank you. Thank you to Ron. And I'm hearing those voices now. So somebody's either on a cordless phone, a Bluetooth headset, or something like that, and the noise isn't me.
Okay, well, let's see how well we can do it.
So,
Chris,
mute me, and I'm going to go away. Thank you guys so much. Happy New Year, and I greatly appreciate that what you did, Ron.
Thank you, Chris. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you, and thanks, Bonnie.
Thank you, Chris, and have a great show, as you always do. So happy
thanks.
New Year. I'm muting you. Oh, Ron, I know you have to run. I just wanted to say, you know, thank you. We love you. I absolutely love my astro guy, who's my birth date man. And again, every time I hear the Aquarius song where the moon is in the seventh house, I start to jitter and quiver, actually. So thank you, Ron, for being with us, and happy New Year. And would you like to say goodbye to everybody and say hello to Kelly?
Well, first, hello, Kelly, and Happy New Year to you, and Happy New Year to all the listeners. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Thank you. And we'll talk to you, my friend, next week. Thank you very much for enlightening us. Bye-bye, Ron.
Goodbye now.
I just love him. Kelly, we've got Kelly. Kelly's going to give some really, you know what, I was going to play the Aquarius song for you, and I might do it at the end because we were just running just a little bit late, but you know I love you, Kelly, and Kelly is our Atlantean reader, card reader. She is the one, again, I had a medium psychic on my show who read for Kelly, and he said that she had the vibrations of Einstein, and I can tell you, if you know Kelly... She does have the vibrations. She doesn't live really her feet on this planet. We're lucky she has them, because she really lives in the other planes, and that's really how you get messages and things that Einstein got to change the world. So Kelly is one of those girls, and I am so proud. I'm honored. I'm just so in awe of her, and I'm so glad she's with me. Hi, Kelly. Happy New Year, girlfriend.
Well, thank you, Bonnie, and thank you for the intro. It's like I'm very happy that you asked me to be on with you. This is good, and yeah, Ron. Ron really covered in the earlier part there, because I thought it was really cool that, you know, this is, it's a new year, and the new moon started, well, here in Mountain Time at 4:14 this morning, but this is the first time in 19 years that there's been a new moon on the 1st of January. So the last time that that happened was 19 years ago. So it doesn't happen all the time.
I know, and we talked about that yesterday, too. I think Susan even brought it up. So, and what's funny for me is, you know, I just feel like I'm so privileged, honored to hear it. I feel it. You know, I can feel vibrations. It kind of doesn't, you know, I just flow. It goes right into the next thing for me right now. So I'm glad that everybody is, like, in awe of these two new moons, and I'm just hoping they're good for us, you know, in the future. How is your new year? I mean, I know you're moving, and I know you've got a lot, too, for you to come on the show, for you to read for people. I mean, everybody, this girl's in transition.
Well, let me put it this way. This has really been, I'm really living up to my card of the wanderer right now, because we're doing a lot of geographical moving. It's like, first of all, my daughter and her husband got moved into their new place. They spent last night was their first night in, and now we were over there at the place that we're gonna move over there. So we were over cleaning last night until the wee hours of the morning.
we're gonna like
go over
to
and clean
that on
tomorrow
New Year.
And start moving today.
Kelly, I am so happy that you're gonna take some callers and me too. And before you start cleaning and getting into that, and I know they've been waiting, and you know, we love everybody and we know how welcome everybody is to Kelly, and she is just a fantastic girl, and we're gonna start with the first caller, and I'm gonna go to, is it Gussie? So Gussie, you're on. Hi, Gussie.
Oh, Happy New Year. Oh, that was fast.
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah, you know, I kind of changed it up a little bit today. So how can we help you? And Happy New Year, and we're so happy you're spending it with us.
Thank you.
How can either Kelly or I help you?
what kinds of questions are you taking today?
I do cards, so one of the things that I need to know is just if you give me your month that you're born and the day of the month you were born and then your current age. That helps me.
Okay. you said the month and the day, is that correct?
Right, and then your current age.
March 15. And then you just need the age then, not the year.
Yeah, just your age.
Okay.
Yep, just your
age. How old am I? 56.
Hey, now, girlfriend, don't get upset about that, because we're all around that. So, don't get upset about that. And by the way, I transitioned so quickly because Ron was giving a accurate reading, well, he's always accurate, but a reading to Chris. I do romance, love, relationships,
right,
and sexual issues. I'm a spirit medium, and Kelly is an Atlantean card reader. And Kelly, after we take Gussie, you want to tell everybody how to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
I completely got thrown off by not going into my song and then introducing both of us at the same time. So go ahead. Would you like Kelly to give you a reading for 2014?
I would love that. That sounds great. Yes.
You go for it, Kelly. Alrighty. Girl.
All righty. Sounds good. March 15th, okay, that is an Eight of Diamonds, and you have a Three of Diamonds as a planetary ruler. Eight of Diamonds people are, golly, I'll say that I have a daughter who's an Eight of Diamonds, so I can tell you a lot about them.
Okay.
There's a saying that says, that has been invented that says, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping, and they said that was probably invented by an Eight of Diamonds person, so...
Yeah. I love that.
But your sun sign has, you've got the opportunity, and it's called the sun card. It has the opportunity to rise to great heights in this lifetime, regardless of whether you're making a move for, you know, great fame or not. You're always respected and looked up to in your work. You love to shine. You love to be noticed by others. You have a great deal of leadership ability. You're very powerful. You can be dominating if your power becomes an addiction. Okay, so that's one of the downsides. You know, we give the upside and the downside of both of this. A lot of your karma this time is worked out through power and control struggles with others because you dislike being controlled and you do try to maintain some power in your relationships. That eight power and position in the crown line gives you really independent, sometimes people would say, you know, maybe a little bit bossy nature, something like that. But in any case, you know what everything is worth. This is, you know, generically true of all the diamond people, because another cute thing that was said is like, if you're dating or with a diamond person, you have a price on your head, because you tend to do that. Okay?
Hey, am I a diamond person?
Let's see, where you brought it out there. I'm trying to think here. Yours is...
No, keep going. I'll let you do me later.
You're a diamond person too. Yeah, definitely. In any case, you pretty much know what things are worth, and you can drive a hard bargain, okay? To many of the diamond people, it means having and spending money, because diamonds are the adults of the deck, but a lot of times in the mundane world, diamonds represent, money or, literally diamonds, things like that. So, you get a lot of your life lessons through the avenue of money. What the deeper meaning in this is, you've come here really to examine your values and figure out, things that are really important to you and what is important to you. The men and women, Eight of Diamonds, are known to be able to spend huge sums of money very quickly. They're the power shoppers, as I was saying, when the tough gets going, when the going gets tough, go shopping. you can achieve anything through hard work, and you have the application of just, you have a lot of inherent intuition. When you learn to focus your power back towards yourself and your personal transformation, think of the phoenix, in the ashes and rising again. When you stop trying to change the world and change yourself first, you can attain lasting peace of inner power and self-mastery, which is the key words. You've got a Queen of Spades karma card. You've got really good minds. You've got a keen desire to learn new things. If you're willing to work for it, there's very little you cannot achieve and very few problems that you cannot overcome. You've got the power and ability to conquer and rule as it goes, as long as it's not misused. It's like, that's the only contraindication with the eight, because they are, very powerful cards. If you misuse that, it comes back like a boomerang. It'll bite you really bad. So it's like being really balanced with that. Now, sometimes on the flip side there's Eight of Diamonds who are either afraid or unwilling to take on that responsibility that comes with that power, and they can forfeit a lot of, their God-given talent and potential. So I'm thinking you're probably not one of those. So I'm thinking you're probably one of those real responsible people who's moving forward. In relationships, in love, you can tend to be a little bit fickle or indecisive, because you've really got an independent, kind of changeable attitude, nature. Sometimes you can attract people into your life who cannot make a commitment. There's kind of a thing that goes along with the hearts of the eight. The hearts people in the eights tend to be, they call them actually the playboys and the playgirls. So it's like, you guys aren't quite that bad. The diamonds people are not quite that bad, but you do have a tendency to like variety. I'll just put it that way. Your biggest
I love that.
You need to learn to give others the freedom of expression without trying to change them, and that's a challenge. You need to learn to accept yourself as you are, and then when you do that, you learn how to give yourself the love you seek from others. You've got an Ace of Spades and a Seven of Hearts, Pluto, and Cosmic Reward card, and that those two in conjunction tell us that it's in releasing your fears of abandonment by not using that abundance of power to literally, like bully or steamroll over your loved ones. That's where some of those greatest challenges are you have. As a rule, you know what you want and you're willing to go after it. What you want does eventually change, because it's like, as we go through, there's a really good book called Passages, and it just kind of describes all the changes, people go through in their 20s, 30s, that.
Right.
In most cases, emphasis most cases, is wise for you to put your career in front of your relationships, because, you lose some of your power when you try to make a relationship more important than your work. So it's like, and it sounds kind of bad, because it seems like, oh my goodness, I'm sacrificing a relationship, but not so much. It's like, I can just say, again, I'm going to draw from knowing my own daughter pretty well here. It's like, she's an Eight of Spades, Eight of Diamonds, and her husband, ironically, is a Three of Diamonds. So
yeah.
She's definitely the leader in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, because they put a price on everything, and it's hilarious to sit there and watch. And for a very young couple, because they pretty much are, they've got, a lot of things going, and diamonds people, even as children, they do not like to have people tell them what to do. They're like the little adults of the deck, and they sit there and go, well, I know. I can do that, you know, and they can't wait to hit 18 to be independent on their own. Okay, and it's like you can, in relationships, you do fare better with people of the club suit, but adopting a less attached view of love brings you a lot of blessings. Let's see, and it does mention that eight of diamonds women are best suited for marriage. That's where I kept getting this page, to spade males, especially if he's accomplished and powerful. Heart males with you can, you know, provide a lifetime friendship. Let's see, just kind of going to look real quick here, and current age 56, okay, with that age. I was going to look and see what some of your overall, I'll say, cards for the year and what this year is kind of about for you.
To turn 57, so I don't really, I can tell you what 57 was like. I really don't. And let's just leave that out. I don't want to rehash that. I don't want to revisit.
Right.
I'm looking forward to my birthday's in 2 months. I'm already looking forward to March. I'm not looking back. I don't care to revisit. I'm not saying it's the worst. It's definitely not. It's
been the
not
greatest year.
Yeah. Let's just say it wasn't the finer years.
Well, guess what? I never got out of my teens, and I'm around your age, so I don't admit. I mean, I'm in a second soul window. You can hear my part. One of my co-hosts, Susan, we do soul windows, and I haven't gotten out of my second one, girlfriend. So I understand what you're saying. So keep going, Kelly. I'm listening.
Yeah. Don't go back. Let's not. I don't need to know. We don't need to talk about it. Doesn't need to be brought to the air.
I'm going to mention is this makes a lot of sense with what you just told me there, because your long range card for your 56th year was the Three of Hearts. And threes are really, I mean, they're very creative, but they also, if it's, you know, if you think of it as like a hamster on a wheel, it's like, you know, a lot of energy there, a lot of creative energy there, but a lot of changeability. And it's almost like, you know, if you were out on the dating scene, it would be like, you know, juggling three guys at once, okay, stuff like that. But it's just, you know, you've had a lot of creativity, but it can also be very stressful if you're not channeling it into positive, you know, positive lines. And you've had a lot of changes. I see like you've had like just a lot of restlessness in the spirit, you know, so you've, it can also indicate a, you know, geographic relocation. But you've also had this king of, and you got two in Neptune this year for you. And coming up, what you've got coming up still is your Neptune. You're still, I think you're in the Uranian time period right now. Because, you know, your birthday, your individual birthday goes from, you know, the day of your birth until, you know, the next year. So you have an individual year.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, you're in, I believe it here, this, you know, this Jack of Diamonds and the Nine of Clubs. Nines are as one door closes, another opens. And, you know, with Uranian, it can be, you know, that double lightning bolt, very unusual things. And the same with that Jack of Diamonds. Just kind of be aware and just watch your pocketbook, because you might have some young man trying to dance or romance you out of some cash, okay? I'll just put it that way. Just, you know, make sure you know where your pocketbook is, and, you know, don't be identity thefted, okay? How about that one?
Oh, yeah.
Just that awareness. When jacks show up, it's like just be aware, okay? In the Neptune time frame we have coming up is that it's really amazing. You've got a king of spades, which is, you know, that puts you at the helm, you know, the master of your own destiny there, and it's like the captain of the ship. But also it pairs it with that five of spades, which is, again, that restlessness and changeability. So you're in the year really strong. The nice thing I can tell you about, you know, coming into your 57th year, you know, after your birthday, a lot of things are going to calm down, because you've got a four of diamonds as your long range, and that is stability and finances, stability and values. So it's going to be a much, much different year. It's like you've gone through, I'm going to say you've gone through like Poseidon Adventure this year.
And
the 57th year is going to be much better. You're going to have four legs on the ground and be stable, okay?
That's what I'm looking for. That's amazing. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And that's part of why I said I didn't want to do a review of 56, because there's a lot of stuff in there that is nobody's business, really, and, you know, on the air. And it's personal stuff.
Right.
It's nobody's business. I don't need to talk about it. And but you're right on. There was a lot of changeability is hardly even the words. It was a lot of chaos even. And it was just sort of maneuvering through the chaos.
Wow.
And you know,
all
the
rocks coming up to the beach, trying to avoid the shipwrecking yourself on the rocks, exactly.
Yeah.
Just looking at your cards, I'm going to say yes. I was looking at this going, man, you had an interesting ride on the Sea of Life this year. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Yes. And I'm looking to make in terms of the move, I'm not going to talk about the moves that I have made.
Right.
In 56, the amount of upheaval and so on. But I am looking to really, I am actually looking right now to make a move, another move. But the reason for this move is to stabilize my life, which is exactly what 57 sounds like it's going to be. And that's exactly what my intent is. So that sounds really promising. I hope you're really excited about that.
I have to tell you something, Desi, and then I'll let her finish up with your year. But I have, I'm hearing a spirit because, I'm a spirit medium. And I'm hearing a spirit. It's a female. And I don't know. And while you were talking, the only thing I got, and I'm only giving what spirit gives me, and you'd have to make a sense of it, is I hear she's a pistol. And then I hear, Annie, get your guns. It's coming.
Yeah.
So I don't know who that is or if you can relate that to somebody, but I am feeling that spirit, and they are really, it's like they are so solid. I would say they had every earth sign and in the world, and they're just digging in and saying, this is, Annie, get your guns because it's almost over. Coming and it's almost over. So whoever that is, I want you to know that they're with you. They're very strong and spirit, and they're a very, very, very dynamic woman. So I don't know. You'd have to go back and see who this is. But I did want to share that with you because excited. I love when spirit comes to me. Kelly, do you have any other for the wrapping up this year for her? I'm sorry.
I hope she comes around her birthday, and it's like we can definitely look at some more of those things that will be coming up because she's got, Pluto is her challenge card. It's and that's the four of clubs, so that's, again, that's, stability is a challenge. But the nice thing, the result is an ace is total transformation. It's like the card of the Magi. And that really, truly represents your own personal transformation, like the phoenix, burning up and arising from the ashes. There's going to be some purification and some positive things. You've got an environment card for the year of a jack of clubs and a displacement of a six of spades. The sixes are like the cards of karma, and this being the spades, it's going to be some very balancing years, and it's like I'm kind of scanning through here, and it's like, and you've got a couple other sixes, you've got a six of hearts, you've got a six of diamonds, so it's definitely going to be a year of balancing and kind of evening the books up, so to speak. And what's really funny is you've got under Jupiter, what I'm seeing, this year you had that King of Spades and Five of Spades under Neptune. In your 57th year, those two cards come again as a pair, which I'm amazed. It's like a lot of times you don't see pairs come again like that. But it's under Jupiter, so it's going to be a really, really extra blessed time of year. So, you're going to have a lot of really good choices. And it's like, I'm just going to say, I'm going to encourage you, if you're not in business for yourself, this would be the time to do it. But this is definitely one of those years where it's like you are going to be the, captain of your ship and, steering yourself in the water. So it's like, figure out where you want to go and put those, affirmations on a, 3x5 index card on your bathroom and say, I am. And it's like, and follow your I am with what you want stuff to be. I am doing great. I am, having a great year, whatever it is. But it's like, your personal I ams is like, figure that one out, because whatever you say the I ams is like, that's what you tend to bring in.
Fascinating.
And Gussie, get your guns, girl. And before I go to another caller, can I ask a question? Are you very spiritual?
I am. I have many, many gifts along that broad range, actually. And I, it's a wide range. I do feel that. When I make this move that I'm looking to make, and to be honest, I'm hoping to make the move like in a matter of weeks. I mean, that quickly. That's part of the move as well, is to help that aspect of my life or that part of myself unfold even more.
Gussie, I can feel it. I knew it. Yeah. I was going to ask you if you were. But do the work, because you'll get a lot of enlightenment and benefit others. from it.
Yeah.
So I hope
yeah.
that we helped you, Bessie.
Thank you.
And start the new year yeah. out with a bang, girlfriend. Get that gun. And I don't like guns, but get that gun. All right,
well,
Bessie.
I
have
like
a great
rifles.
Day.
I'm a big fan of rifles. Thanks. So the Annie Oakley thing is perfect for me. Thank you so much.
Well,
bless you both. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
one,
you.
One quick bit on the tip. Your Neptune time frame starts January 22nd, and that's when that Five of Spades comes in. So it's like you're really on in a matter of weeks. It's like January 22nd till your next birthday is when that Five of Spades is going to be there. So I would guess that that would be the time that you're going to be moving.
Oh really?
Wow.
Five of Spades is you associate that with a geographical move then, or possibly.
Yes.
Interesting.
Very highly possible. It's like, if not, you're going to move your living room furniture and redecorate. I don't know.
I'm looking for a geographical move. And as I said,
right.
the sooner the better. So, well, the January 22nd to when was the final? When was the time period?
That's the last time frame of your year until your next birthday in March. March
I gotcha. Okay, great. Well, thank you. Thank you both.
Well, honey, you're very welcome. Have a great year and let us know. What a great girl. I love her. I love her energy. I could feel it coming through the phone, and I'm so happy I could give her a spirit message. I was kind of saying, spirit, come on. Tell me what you need. I am going to pick up a girl. She's after my own heart. Her name is My Heart One, and I know this is for you, Kelly, because I've talked to her. So I think this is going to be for you. Hi, My Heart.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
There we go.
Hi. I am so happy to see you back. And can you tell Kelly your first name? And she needs to know exactly your birth date. Your birth date. Your various. Kelly, what do you need?
Month, day, and present age.
And before you do that, I just want to tell everybody listening, all our listeners, callers, and I love you so much in chat, Kelly is a very rare Atlantean card reader. She reads life cards. This is so amazing. I think the next time Kelly's on or at the end of the show, I'm going to ask her to explain those cards and what they actually mean. So if you all get a reading from her, you might want to hang on because the last 10 minutes, I'm going to let Kelly explain what those cards are. So, My Heart, are you ready?
I am. My name is Sharon, and my birth date is March 22nd, and I'm currently 64.
64, okay. And say your name again was what?
Sharon.
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 Okay. Wow. Sharon.
Isn't
okay,
it Sharon?
Sharon. S-H-A-R-O-N.
Sharon, okay. There we go. Yeah, it's my phone reception here. It's like I'm hoping to get a landline at the next place. It'll help things a lot. Right now, I am on a cell phone. Oh,
Kelly,
I'll
take you with any phone you have because you are so wanted. You're so rare. And besides being a very close and dear friend of mine, you are one of the best card readers I know. And one of the only Atlantean card readers I know. So go ahead. I'm sure Sharon doesn't want to hear me gush all over you. So go ahead, please.
What is really funny here is March 22nd is an Ace of Diamonds. So she shares you your Ace of Diamonds there, Bonnie, because I think you're July 14th. Is that right, Bonnie?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm
okay,
a diamond card. I have a price on everything. Remember, Kat?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're an Ace of Diamonds, and that's what Sharon is also. She's an Ace of Diamonds. The only difference with her, though, she has a planetary ruler of that Three of Clubs. And the Ace of Diamonds people, let's see here, a little bit about who you guys are. Of course, Bonnie's going to sit here and go, doo, doo, doo.
That's right. I can't wait to hear.
Generically, it's a desire for love and money, and the inherent passion in this card can be expressed in a variety of ways, but it always seems difficult for you to have both money, or a career, and love at the same time. And I also have a son who's an Ace of Diamonds Gemini, and it's like, yeah, it just feels like, you have to juggle those. It's like, oh, I can't have both at the same time. So that's one of your challenges this time in this life is to work on. And part of the reason for that is because your nature is to focus all of yourself in one particular direction, kind of to the exclusion of other things. You kind of get tunnel vision. You can be, and it's like, I don't sugarcoat these much, it's like, because there's an upside and downside. There's, you know, there's the yin and the yang, the light and the dark. It's like, you can be the patient, you know, selfish or mercenary, but the flip side is you can also be the greatest givers and, you know, one of those people who gives people a shirt off your back. You've got Jupiter and Neptune card in the life spread, and Jupiter tends to expand those Neptunian ideals and charitability, sometimes to great extremes. You're very kind-hearted on one level, and you really go out of your way to help those who are less fortunate. You know, kind animals, you know, you hate to see any living thing suffer. That strong Neptunian influence can make some of you aspire to really high ideals, you know, make contributions to worthy causes. And in essence, it's like you really like to help save things. Whether it's your friends, family, you know, business associates, you know, children, animals, you know, the planet, whatever it is. It's like, you know, you like to really be out there just helping out. The thing you have to be aware of is Neptune can be an illusion that can lead us on a path of great deception or misplaced ideals, and then it just depends on the individual person's ability to discriminate. And it's like, give this really great example, I love it, because Paul Newman was an Ace of Diamonds, and he, you know, did a lot for charities, you know, a lot of charitable work. On the flip side, you know, Hitler was also an Ace of Diamonds. So you have really two extremes of the bell curve, okay? And he thought he was doing a good thing for, you know, cleansing the genetic pool. It's like, oh, my goodness, you know, so that's the misguided part of it. But those, you know, again, those represent the opposite extremes of, you know, Neptune idealism. And then there's just a great diversity in how that, you know, that dreamy, optimistic nature can be expressed. But it's always there. You're very creative, very capable. You tend to work two jobs at once. You meet new people every day. Much of your good fortune comes from, you know, meeting different people and, you know, different walks of life. You're ambitious, got a certain amount of ambitiousness and artistic ability. Your work usually involves some sort of travel, which you love to travel. It's kind of that, what my mom called the gypsy foot. Your life can be a series of phone calls or communications, you know, all sorts, and you're just a flurry of activity. Regardless of what you do, you believe that you're here to help the world and make an important contribution in the process. You are inclined to be a bit psychic and, you know, naturally kind of attracted to life. And if you don't let money or power take top priority in your values, you can have lives of great satisfaction and accomplishment. As mentioned earlier, one of your main challenges is love. And this is I find this really funny because Bonnie is the love person there. It's like, okay. And you just, it's like, you know, do you have to give up your career to have the love you want? Because sometimes you have a kind of a distant relationship, you know, when you see your partner every so often, or there's some kind of, you know, even though you might be physically close together, there might be a distance there. But it allows you time for your work, which is, you know, very important to you. And in other cases, you and your partner can spend a lot of time together traveling together. But at least once in your life, depending on, you know, where you're at, you know, year-wise, that you've experienced a lesson about the importance of having a partner with you as opposed to being separated by miles and miles of distance. There's really a strong Neptune-Pisces element in this, in the Ace of Diamonds life, which spills over into personal relationships. You can really see the highest, you know, idealist in your partner, and you tend to be kind of a natural caretaker of your partner, and sometimes the partners don't necessarily live up to their end of the bargain, and you can get very disappointed or angry or upset with them. So part of this is you need to learn to speak up, you know, for your own needs and learn how to see others for who they really are. There's this bit with the rose-colored goggles, so it's like, you know, you want to make sure you take those off. But, you know, with communication is called the lifeblood of a relationship. All things are possible. Let's see here. And for this particular year, okay, and with the 64th year, let's see what kind of stuff is. I'll say coming up for you, it's like I should actually say be ending for you, because let's see, you're in on the 22nd, so where you're at right now, December 7th started your Uranium time frame of the year, and your Neptune time frame will start January 29th. So you're into the last two phases of this year as it comes, and then, of course, you know, when the new year starts, your personal new year starts, you know, it'll all shift and come around to something different. And, wow, okay, this year you have had a Three of Diamonds as your long range. So, again, The threes bring a lot of changeability, a lot of juggling things. You know, in this case, it might be juggling your finances, juggling values. Might be, you know, like, could be dating three people at the same time or trying to hold, you know, three jobs at the same time, you know, something like that, or having diversity with income. And that, wow, again, that is going to change when on your 65th year coming in is you're going to have the Wanderer card. You're going to have the Five of Spades for your long range one. So you're going to have some changes and things coming up in the 65th year. This looks like it's been a fairly decent year for you, actually. But you've had a lot of hearts. You've had a lot of really good positive cards in here. Let's see. For coming up, you've got. I'm going to look into the coming up phase of things here, because you'll be coming into, first of all, in your Mercury time frame for the new year. For your new year, you'll have the Two of Diamonds and the Two of Spades. So those are both you're working in union with people. You've got a Ten of Hearts and Five of Clubs in your Venus time frame, and that's your social circle. And again, there's a little restlessness in there, and you might actually consider, going back. My mom was a school teacher. You know, you might actually consider going on for some further education, because clubs are always about scholarship and learning new things. You know, whether it's you're taking official classes or whether you're just getting new books and studying on your own. There's going to be some transitions in your Mars sign, because you've got a Nine of Diamonds and a Five of Diamonds both together in there. So there's some restlessness with finances and with values. There's going to be some doors closing and yet other doors opening. And that's going to come right into the Jupiter time frame of Eight of Clubs, which is a really exciting card, and a Six of Diamonds, that's going to be balancing the skills financially. But it's under Jupiter, so it's like whatever happens there is going to be the best, highest, most positive way possible. You got a transformation card, the Ace of Spades and the Queen of Clubs both show up in Saturn. That's going to be, again, that Ace of Spades is like that card, the card of transformation. It's the card that represents this whole deck. And it's, the Phoenix rising to the ashes. So there's going to be a major transition of some sort in that Saturn time frame. And then you've got Three of Clubs, some restlessness there, again, in the Uranian time frame. But also you've got another Queen there. You've got the Queen of Spades with self-mastery. So it's like, you're going to be working on that. And then Neptune, you've actually got the Six of Spades again. So, again, it's your karma card coming around. And it's like there will be some balancing in your balancing, I'll say, in the Neptune time frame is with ideals and dreams. So it's like, your things are going to come back to balance. And you've got another Six. Your displacement card is also the Heart Sister. So you've got a lot of things that are going to be, that are going to be transitioning. A lot of things are coming up, but the positive thing is, you've got some things to look forward to, and you've got some personal, I'll say, interior work, on yourself. So hoping that helps.
Wow.
Yes, you've got a pretty powerful reading there, and you've got some great things coming. But, when we say working on ourselves, I love that, because we should be evolving and working on ourselves always. Right, Kelly?
Oh, yeah. And there's been so many different vibes and so many different energies, coming in. And then it actually started in December of 2012. It's like with that, those three planets that lined up and over the pyramids of Giza, that really opened those portals. And we've had this whole year, it's like where we're just literally the vibrations are raising, we're raising, people are, kind of feeling chaotic, and it's like, but it's challenging us to all step up, and it's like grow, and you grow and become, a bigger vibration than we were before, so to speak. Because everything
I love that.
We're in
I love that. Yeah, me too. I love it. I had some amazing experiences this year. So, yeah, and I'm in a constant state of learning that, and doing new things. So this is very exciting. Thank you so much, Kelly. And thank you, Bonnie.
Yes. Oh, you're welcome. We love you, and Happy New Year. And I can't even think of a nicer way to start your new year than getting a reading from Kelly and being on my show, I hope. Because I do the love, and she covers it all in your reading. So to me, this is the best thing that you could get going into the new year. So happy new year, and I hope we've helped you. And I know Kelly loves everybody like I do. Yes. And just listen to the archives and you can see what's coming up for you. So
Ron gave some amazing info for the start of the year. It's like it was so comprehensive. That was pretty amazing.
You're welcome. Have a great start to the new year. Kelly, I love you. I am going to take another caller because we have so many people that want to talk to you, and I know that Teddy's mom has been waiting a long time. So here we go. Teddy's mom, hi. Hi. Teddy's mom.
Hi, how are you?
I'm so good.
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Sometimes it's a bad line.
Oh, you know what? We are having...
Good.
I don't know.
I'm wondering if you can tell me...
Go ahead.
What do you need from me as far as... What do you need from me as far for reading? Do you need a birthday or just a question?
It's the month and day in your current age. Month you're born, day you're born, and your current age.
And the current age. Month is August, day is 29th. The year as well?
Your current age, yeah.
Oh, it's 48.
48, okay. And tell me the date again. It kind of blitzed out. It's 20 something?
August, I didn't hear it either.
20th? 29th. Okay, that would make a huge difference if it was. Okay, August 29th.
I know.
I don't know
what's going on. Yeah, do you not hear it, Kelly? Because I don't hear it either. So, yeah, I'm wondering if it's blog talk.
Okay.
Okay, Teddy. Can I ask what your first name is? I hate to call you Teddy's mom.
No, Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. Oh, my goodness, I love that name, Suzanne. Suzanne, hi, and you are really, really, really going to get a great outlook on your 2014 with Kelly. So, Kelly, you go for it, girl.
Because I'm ready. I'm ready for something exciting to come in.
Well, with the new moon today, for starters, and it's like the last time that happened was 19 years ago. So, yeah, 2014 is going to be an awesome year, just generically. All right, let's see. You are August 29th. You're a 10 of Hearts birth card, and you've got a 10 of Diamonds as your planetary ruler. So you've got, like, double 10s. I know the 10 of Diamonds is called the Blessed card. And the 10 of Hearts is, you know, that's usually about your social circle, and it's about, of course, it's also your life lessons and things you came in here to learn. And let me see, that one's not coming to me right off the bat here, so I'm going to cheat and just take a look. It's success with groups, and it's because most of the cards have their own name. And yours is just called the success with group card. So you're similar to an Ace of Hearts person. You've got a lot of ambition in your life. You could stray off the path of truth, but it'll bite you if you do, okay? That's the caveat. You've already experienced the truth. You have that knowledge as your birthright to guide you each step of your way through life. You're creative. You've got some artistic ability. You tend to be a leader, not a follower. You love children, groups of people. You might kind of regard your children, as your audience, that kind of thing. And I will say there's a story about a particular librarian I knew that her forte, she was a 10 of Hearts, and it was story time with the kids, and man, she did awesome puppet shows, that kind of stuff. So somewhere, wherever the creativity lies, it can be there, and you can be in a field where you can perform in front of others, or just be surrounded by many family and social concerns. In either case, the 10 of Hearts usually is your personal social circle. You usually have that pretty good solid support group. You've got two aces in your life path, and it calls you part ace yourself because numerologically, if you take the 1 + 0, that's 10 is 1 + 0, so it adds down to 1. But you've got a strong need to explore yourself to determine what's important to you personally in life, and you can get really engrossed in that process. And some people can see you as kind of being having a lot of tunnel vision, or just kind of one eyed, something like that. But only if you make the acquisition of money or things your primary goal does that really come out, okay, to exclusion of other people. For the most part, you value relationships higher than anything else on your list, and you're very considerate, very kind. Honesty is a big thing with this card, whether it's just to be, more honest, to yourself or with yourself, or to develop a philosophy that kind of overrides the ups and downs that, might tempt you to be less than forthright in communications with others. When you make that commitment to that personal truth, life is going to straighten out a lot. Because there's a quote by Ben Franklin, you know, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. So it's like your best course of action is always going to be the straight and narrow. I'll just give it that way.
Oh, my goodness.
You're very innovative. You can make a great contribution in your chosen field, you know, as long as you, again, exercise that clarity in your judgment. Motives can be, you know, either humanitarian or selfish. That's the flip side of both. But it just has a lot to do with your ultimate destination. And, you know, this is where you really drive the ship. You're very independent. A lot of times you can be very impulsive, but that's a lot of times also is kept in balance by your wisdom. You can really make a unique mark on this world through application of your inherent gifts. You're called gentle and wise people. You know, at least the wisdom is there, and that wisdom is your protection and your guiding light. In relationships, you have power in love, and you are attracted to those power. You're not afraid to work for the love you want in your personal relationships. You're very charming, well-liked. A lot of times you will make the first move to start a relationship, and then you're really willing to work for it. And that can be the winning formula for success, you know, in love or marriage. You've got basically good karma in love, but there can be some indecisiveness, you know, you have from time to time that can lead to problems. And that a lot of times indecisiveness can be, you know, with our communications or whatever. So it's just being really clear with your communications with your loved ones. You're really smart when you apply that mental power and creative energy to the area of love. It can get you into trouble when you try too hard to make things turn out as like, you know, like a plan. It's like you can't exactly plan your love life like you set up your college curriculum. So just keep that in mind. It doesn't work quite that way. There's a lot of times there's a need to learn to feel things in the matters of love instead of thinking about it, because, you know, that's that head-heart moment. And with that ten, I really want to look at that ten of diamonds as a follow-up with your, as your planetary ruling card. That gives you, you know, a lot of power, too. And just be grateful that you have that card as the ruling card, because it bestows some really genuine good fortune on all who have it. It's called the blessing card. And many things in this life is just going to kind of be, you're just going to fall into it, just going to kind of be given to you. It does not guarantee happiness, though, you know, because stuff, I mean, we've seen too many of the Hollywood stars who don't have everything, and they get unhappy with whatever, and it's like, and they, you know, to the point where they kill themselves. So it's like, you know, yes, happiness is very eternal. So a lot of it is the appreciation, and that, of course, is what we've learned from, you know, Rhonda Byrne with the attitude of gratitude, you know, the secret. So really be appreciative for what you have. That card also gives you an innate business ability. It's really good. You could do very well with your own business, and the larger business it is, the better. You might enjoy being the center of attention. You know, you have some natural abilities, either artistic or otherwise, that can get you attention. And in relationships, you can be a little bit, it's just like the one-eyed king, so a little bit, you know, looking to self and a little bit high-strung, you know. So just be aware of those, and, you know, that's awareness is usually a great solution to problems. And that's, those would be the reasons you might have some challenges in that area. And at age 48, let's see what you got. Let's see, coming up, and I'll say, yeah, you're about midway through your year here. August, September, October, November, December, yeah, okay. The first part of that. What have you got? This is this year, okay, we might say. Ten of hearts, there we go. And this being the 48th year, okay. Your long range is you've got a jack of clubs, and where you're at in your, oh yeah, okay, you had some stuff happen at the beginning of the year in your Mercury time period. You had a nine of hearts and a seven of clubs paired up. Might have been like relationship-wise, you know, a door closed, another door open, something like that. And there's with the sevens, it's a lot of, I'll say it's a lot of faith. It's like those are the cards that challenge you to have faith in things and just kind of, you know, don't try to control things so much because, you know, again, it's not like the college curriculum. Sometimes, you know, we wish it could be, but it just never quite works out that way. Where you're at right now, let's see. Okay. Yeah, your Mercury time frame there. Okay, your Venus time frame started in October. October 3rd ended December 12th. Your Mars time frame, that's actually where you're at right now. It started December 12th and it runs to January 26th. And then your Jupiter, which is your blessed time of the year, goes from January 26th to March 19th. Your Saturn time frame kicks in, and that is that's your learning time. It's like Saturn is just about the opposite of Jupiter. Jupiter is very expansive. Saturn is going to constrict, like, you know, the father's golden year, you know, you're grounded, whatever. But March 19th to May 10th is your Saturn time frame. Then that Uranian time frame comes in, and it's kind of like that breath of fresh air. It's like springtime. The lightning bolt for you is May 10th. Through July 1st. And then your very last time frame of the year is Neptune, which is July 1st until your birthday. So you are at, what did I just say here? You are in currently your Mars time frame coming up to Jupiter. So let's see what is, oh, wow. And in Mars, you've got two, you've got double eights. You've got an eight of spades and you've got an eight of clubs. Mars is dealing with like legal things and with, kind of rules there, but you've got with those two eights there, it's just like there's no challenge that's going to come your way that you're not going to be able to overcome with those double eights. It's like, what a great pair. Wow. And you've got and right after that into Jupiter, you've got double aces. So it's like, if this is a poker hand, man, I want to be playing this one. You've got an ace of spades and you've got an ace of clubs in that Jupiter time frame. So you're going to be really literally reforming again, man. It's like, we've got a lot of ACE, you know, a lot of transformation that people calling in today. It's like, you know, those transformative parts. But it is. And it's like in the ACE clubs, there we go, is looking for new knowledge. So it's like there's going to be something happening in your, you know, your Jupiter time frame starting at that's kind of the end of January, where you're going to have some real transformation things happening in your life. And then going into that, right past that one is that Saturn. Oh, what did I just say? No, Jupiter. Yeah, Jupiter's ace. Okay. You got another ace, that ace of diamonds and a king of hearts in your Saturn time frame. So, again, you've got three aces in this hand. You're going to have some new ways of finances, but it's going to be a lot of work. Under Saturn, things are a lot of work. There's also with that King of Hearts, it's mastery, it's self-mastery of loving things, you know, of either yourself, and it might possibly be, you know, if you're not in a stable relationship, you know, you might have a new relationship coming in, or if you're in a, you know, if you're in with a partner you really like, it's going to be like a reaffirmation of with that partner. After that one, you've got the Uranian time frame is a King of Clubs and a Six of Diamonds. So sixes are our karmic cards and our cards of fate balancing things out. So there's going to be some financial balancing of the scales on the Uranian time frame. It's going to be whatever it is very unexpected. And then with that King of Clubs, it's like that's the King of Knowledge. So, again, you might be looking at, taking, you know, some weekend classes or, you know, something like that, learning something new, something different. The very last one, your Neptune time frame, you've got that Six of Diamonds is repeated. So you've got that Six of Diamonds goes with you into the last two time frames. So, again, there's going to be some balancing of the scales karmically with finance. But overall, for this year, the Jack of 48, right. Jack of Clubs, yeah, for this year. So, I don't know. It's looking like you're going to have a really, really decent year. What I will say is you passed your, year 45 is the rebirth year. So you've got, that's kind of the time when your cards line up again as they first were when you were born. And so you're kind of, this would be like year three of your new life, okay? So you're kind of taking what you've learned, and it's like everything is upping an octave. So it's, I don't know. Really time of positive changes.
I love that, Kelly. I'm going to tell you we're out of time, but I do want to tell Suzanne, is that you? Are you still on, I'm hoping? Suzanne?
I'm still here, yeah.
I had a gentleman here. I have a gentleman in spirit. I don't know if it's somebody here. And as Kelly was talking to you, and I don't know if you want the message. Do you want the message from this gentleman in spirit?
Yes.
Yeah, the gentleman in spirit says, and I'm not sure if you're in a relationship or you're married or you're or whatever, but
I'm single.
I'm sorry?
Single. I'm single.
Yeah, he said, oh, well, this makes sense then, because he said that this guy, he's looking at me, and he's saying, she never makes the right choice in men, and I told her, and so I don't know who it is, but he's saying that you look in the different, you always look in a direction with men that needs to be revised. And I love that because we always get in a pattern, and I've got to get off, and you can call us back next week. But or you could call me on Tuesday. I'll be on Tuesday. But I will tell you that what he's saying is he's not doing it meanly. He's just saying she never makes the right choice in men. And, you know, a lot of people don't. They get stuck in a loop, like, and they don't know how to get out of it because they are attracted a certain type of guy. But what he's kind of saying to me in the back here is she's got to change her MO here. So I hope that's helped you. I've got to get off. It's not Kelly. I want her to give the last couple of minutes in explaining how she reads cards. So I will leave you. I'll mute you, and hopefully you can stay on. But please go back in the archive and listen because it is really good reading for you. So happy New Year, and I am going to mute you. Kelly, I am so happy to have you, and we still have people we couldn't get to. But I want for the last couple minutes, I know, you're fabulous. And, you know, it's always all about me in the first house. I always say I'm Aries in the fourth or the first. I don't know what that means, and I don't have Aries in my first. I have nothing. But for some reason, it's all about me. So I have to tell you, I love you, Kelly, to death. Or to life, because, you know, dead or alive is my song. Yours is Aquarius. But can you please tell us for the last couple of minutes before I go into, you know, the last minute, how you read your cards and what they mean? Can you do that in, like, 5 minutes?
5 minutes or less. Oh, boy, it's a thumbnail look. Okay.
Well, listen, next week we'll let you do it in the beginning. So just give them a clue of all the people that you've read for, what those card decks that you're reading means. And I love it when you tell us about the suits and things. So go for it, girlfriend.
All right. Well, first of all, I am going to say if anybody wants, you know, private readings, it's like you can contact us on Facebook. We have a group called Spiritual Learning Connection. So, you know, make contact with us there, and a lot of times we just, you know, post shows and get stuff there, and I'm trying to get Bonnie to, you know, post her show links there too, whatever.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you, honey, because Diana, yes. You're hearing this in chat. You're my girl. You have to post on Kelly's site. I don't know how. I can't talk, walk, and write at the same time. So you have to get to Diana. So go ahead. I'm not Einstein, but I love Einstein. So go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. Let's see. Our email is for the shows is SLC, you know, short for Spiritual Learning Channel, .on.btr@gmail.com. So if you want to contact us there regarding any of your shows, you can get a hold of us there. And then my everything and my business number is 719-289-4907, and I have a really old antiquated phone, so all I'm going to say is leave a message. I do, you know, return calls. So, and you will get the coffee infomercial because I do this really healthy coffee thing, and it's really it's also tea and hot chocolate. So, you know, bear with the infomercial. Leave your name, leave your number. You know, I do return calls. I'm also on Skype, but that's I'm on free Skype, so I have to connect with people to do that one. But how
good.
Hard work.
No, go ahead, Kelly, because I want them to know that you do private readings. She's excellent. She's done two of my private readings, and you can contact her. She'll tell you what her cost is and how to pay for that when you get a hold of her. So please try to use whatever venue she tells you. She's a very busy lady, and we know that you love her readings, and she's always on here with me on Wednesdays because she offers that for you as a little taste. But so go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry. Now you have 2 minutes. So
oh. That's fine.
Go, girl.
What I really like about these cards is, again, it was earlier in chat, you know, they're very mathematically based, and they were created by the Atlanteans about roughly 20,000 years something ago for our planet. And they're based on, like I say, everything is numbers, not problematical, she was probabilities, there you go, possibilities, but it is all about numbers. There's just so many different things with this, like, you know, for example, there's 52 weeks in the year, that just you know, happens there are 52 cards in the deck. Isn't that amazing? It just happens that there's, you know, 365 and a quarter days in the year, and if you take a deck of poker cards and you add up their face values and include one joker, it's the face value cards add up to like 364, and then you put that joker in there, and it's a value of 1.25. So guess what? It adds up to 365 and a quarter. But they originally, I don't know.
Kelly,
so
we have we have 54 seconds left. I'm going to ask you to let's save this for the next time. We're going to start with you, and you're going to explain the cards, give you 15 minutes. In fact, we might need to keep you a little longer. We might need to start this show about so that we can start it at 1:45 instead of 2:00 next week.
Okay,
so
I
do want to tell
stuff.
Everybody. I know I do too, but I might have to cut it short just to give you enough time, or I'll just extend, you know, one of my shows. But I love you, everybody. I'm on tonight at A1R 9:30. Susan and I, Mondays 1 to 3 is Susan, Z Rich, myself, and guests, and we have a lot of guests. On Tuesday, Susan, Z Rich, and myself. I'm the host and guest. On Wednesday, I have the famous Kelly, who you're talking to right now, and the famous Ron. And we're looking to put another show on Thursday. I'm waiting for Kelly to get moved in to talk to her about adding another day. So if you're all in chat and you want another day with Kelly, please let me know. I'll put her on a separate day, too, and we can go 2 hours if it's going to fit in her schedule. And I'll talk to her about that later. Anyway, Happy New Year. I love you. Love is in the airwaves. We'll talk to you later, guys. We love you. Have a great day.
Awesome.